from a west side girl to a south side girl to a north side girl to a east side girl. She's fierce, fierce, she's fierce, fierce, fierce.
You are now listening fierce to the Fierce Female Network.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. I'm your host, Fierce Manson. Today it is March the 8th, 2021. It is 6 p.m. on the Central Standard Time Zone, and it is 7 p.m. on the Eastern Standard Time Zone. And before I get into the show on today and introduce my esteemed guest, I want you to do me a small favor. If you could possibly jump on over to Facebook and give the page a like, I would greatly appreciate it. The only thing that you do have to do is just put in the keyword over on Facebook, Fierce Female, the Fierce Female Network, and please do give the page a like and follow, if you will. I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you. And so on today, my host, my guest is Edwina Frances Martin. Edwina Frances Martin. So if you have not, or you may be aware or may not be aware who Edwina Frances Martin is, Esquire, I'm going to introduce you to her on today. I'm going to give you a little bit of her background so you can become more familiar with her as I await her arrival. So Ms. Martin, she is a public interest lawyer focusing on public policy, government relations, and nonprofit management and strategic communications. Ms. Martin currently serves as the Deputy Chief of Staff for a New York Council. She's a member of the New York City Council. Prior positions include Director of Government Relations, Communications, and she's a pro bono for Legal Services New York City and Litigation Associate with the law firms of Shearman and Sterling. She also began her career serving as law clerk to the Honorable Lawrence Pierce, the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit. Ms. Martin is also a recipient of many, many awards, several awards, and I do want to let you know what some of those awards are. She is the African American Political Association 2005 Community Service Award, also the 2008 Emerging Leader Award from the American Association of University Women for New York State. She also is the 2010 Women's History Month Woman of Distinction Award from the New York State Senator Diane Sabino and New York State Assembly Member Nicole Malikatis. She also is the 2012 Ruby Award for Ms. Martin Volunteers and several bar associations, including she also sits on the New York State Bar Association. She's also the delegate of House of Delegates, co-chair, President's Committee on Access to Justice. Oh, my gosh. She really has a long list of awards and things. She's a very esteemed woman. And also, I do want to mention, before she does make her arrival, she's also a member of the chapter of Data Sigma Theta Sorority. And so she has a long list of accomplishments, and I cannot wait to dive into the conversation with her. I have a lot of things I want to ask her. And so our conversation tonight is going to be a lot political. I love politics, by the way. So if you guys didn't know, let me tell you a little bit about myself while I'm waiting for Ms. Martin. I love politics. I love to talk about all things politics, government, any government issues. I always have an opinion. I'm very opinionated. If you guys did not know, if you were not aware, I am very opinionated when it comes to government issues, when it comes to public policy, when it comes to anything political. And sometimes my views are a little slant. A lot of times I do refrain from giving my opinions and views when it comes to politics. You know what? And the reason that I kind of refrain because, you know, I don't like ruffling, getting people's feathers all ruffled up. And sometimes my opinions can really ruffle up somebody's feathers because my opinions can be really, really different. And so I keep saying I'm going to dive into those waters and give more of my opinions of the way I view the world and the way I view things as government. And so it will be interesting when I do get into that. And so also I want to let you guys know what's on the table for some of the shows that I've been thinking about and putting together. I want you guys to be aware of what's coming up on the Fierce Female Network. And so I'm going to be doing a series, a very short series, a very short course. Of course, it's going to be about communications. And the reason I want to do that with communications, I've been wanting to get to it, oh my God, for almost 6 months now, and I just have not gotten around to that particular class. I do have one show that's all about communications and how to get what you want by learning how to communicate a little bit better. And so I really want to give a little bit more meat and information on communications and how to get what you want as a business owner, as a consumer, how to get what you want and what you need during these trying times and challenging times when it comes to communications. And I also want to talk a little bit about communication and the targeted EIDL advance. I want to talk about that a little bit. And so I just want to get into the meat of it just a little bit. And for individuals who are trying to go through the process with the targeted advance, I want to talk about that just a little bit and how communication can help you get through the process a little bit smoother. And you know what? I do have the time. I do want to say this when it comes to the targeted advance for small business owners. You may or may not know that when it comes to the target advance, there isn't anything that you can do to get an invitation. First of all, you have to be invited by the Small Business Administration to apply for the target advance. So some people are asked, well, what can I do to speed up the process? What can I do to be invited? There isn't anything really you can do by reaching out to the SBA when it comes to the targeted advance. The targeted advance is just for those who qualify. And I know that a lot of people say that they do qualify because they fall in the realm of being in the low-income sector, low-income community within that sector. But there is more to it than just being within a low-income community. You have to show a 30% reduction. You have to show proof of your gross income, 30%, a 30% reduction over an eight-week period. And so what they do is take a look at a targeted 8-week period and see if you qualify, if your revenue, your gross revenue is 30%. If there's a 30% reduction, which is the key figure, 30% or more, I should say that, 30% or more, 30% or more reduction in revenue during an 8-week period beginning on March 2nd, 2020 or later. Okay, and if you do fall into that low-income community criteria, you'll be asked for some things. Sometimes people don't understand what the gross revenue is, your cost of goods. So you do want to find out what those numbers are because you're going to ask to show what those numbers are on a monthly basis, the gross monthly revenue and the cost of goods. You're going to have to show that month by month when it comes to the application for the targeted advance. All right, so I'm going to have a little bit of music while I'm waiting for Miss Edwina Francis Barton of Wire arrival. And I'm looking so forward to getting to the conversation with her. So I'm going to play a little bit of music. And you know what? Sometime I play this song. It's been a long time since I played it. Some of you may or may not know that I do have one particular song that's out. It's called Reclaim the Generation. And it's not really rap. It's spoken word. And so if you have not had an opportunity to take a listen to Reclaim the Generation, right now I want you to take a listen to Reclaim the Generation. Here we go.
Come and feel with me. self-esteem.
Reclaim the Generation. You can purchase that song for 99 cents at Amazon.com. That would greatly appreciate it. And so right now I'm going to introduce my guest, Miss Edwina Frances Martin. I am so honored and privileged to have her be on the show on today. And so as you guys know, I did mention some of the esteemed awards that she has received over the past. And I'm going to say hello to my guest right now. Hi, Miss Martin. How are you?
Oh, hi, good evening. I'm so glad that we were able to connect.
Yes, I am too. It is a pleasure to have you here on today.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure to visit with you this evening and to be on your show. I'm honored. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. And so I do just kind of want to dive right in just a little bit. And I want you to tell us, what holds close and dear to your heart when it comes to government and politics? What are some of your views and opinions? What's the number one thing that you're really passionate about when it comes to politics? What's your goal? What drives you when it comes to doing the job that you do?
Well, what drives me is access, equal access to the justice system, and equal access to the resources of our wonderful country. So equity and access are the things that drive me.
I love it. Equal access, I love it. And we know things here within this country is disproportionate. And so in your experience, can you tell us a little bit of the disproportionate things that you have experienced during your career, during your stint of doing and practicing law? And when I say a disproportionate number or percentage or figures, I'm speaking of the rationalities between the ratios between African Americans having great access to representation versus our European white counterparts.
Where to start? That's, in some ways, that's a hard question. So I'm going to tease out just a few things I've seen over the course of my career. I spent a little over 10 years working with a legal services program in New York City. Legal services programs provide free civil legal services to low-income persons. I was the director of communications, director of government relations, and director of pro bono. And in the context of doing government relations, which some people might call lobbying, but I saw myself as an advocate far more than a quote-unquote lobbyist in that respect. And one of the things I had to do was prepare materials. To meet with elected officials and sometimes appointed officials like commissioners, for example, to plead our case, whatever the issue was. And so I spent a lot of time working with the people in our grants department, pulling data, pulling statistics on the people we provided services to. And I also spent a lot of time looking at national data and studying and looking for trends, for things to identify. And, you know, I left legal services in 2012. So some of the things that, you know, I say may be a little dated, but I suspect they're not. Nationally, less than 20% of people who have legitimate legal issues for which they need representation on civil matters are able to actually get help, less than 20% nationally. And when I say, you know, people want to, might think they have a legal issue, but actually they don't have any claim in law. So I'm not even talking about, you know, sort of the people that are in sort of that pie. I'm talking about the people who have a legitimate landlord-tenant case, who are victims of domestic violence, who are not receiving the IEP that they should be in order to get the best educational programming that they can. You know, these are the people who, for the most part, are falling through the cracks in the system we have right now. And I became involved in this movement for Civil Gideon, and you and your listeners might be familiar with the case of Gideon versus Wainwright, right? That's a famous case that ensures access to legal counsel for persons who are accused of a crime and are facing loss of liberty. Civil Gideon is looking to create, a corollary in civil matters that impact basic human life issues like food, like housing, like domestic violence, as some of the prime examples. And so the Civil Gideon movement is working to try to provide access to legal help for people in the civil arena, as a human right and not as something they get if they're lucky and they sort of win the lottery or they're super fierce advocates like the fierce women, you know, that your show is named after. You know, not everyone can be that articulate. Not everyone can be fierce. You know, maybe they are just beaten down. Maybe they just have too many things going on and they're being swallowed up. Because one of the things that we saw in legal services is mm-hmm. that there's usually not just one matter. A domestic violence victim may not be working because part of that whole pathology is isolating the person, right, and making them completely dependent on you so that they're very fearful of leaving. So they may not have a source of income. They've become alienated from friends and family because of this destructive relationship. They may have children. So what are they going to do? What can be done to enable them to safely leave that situation and not immediately go back because they can't sustain themselves, you know, yeah. to give them time to get themselves on their feet. So, you know, that's one example, and I know I sort of went on a bit. I have had the experience working in the nonprofit arena of finding out that I was not being paid a fair wage. And it was a devastating experience. It was really devastating because when I went into this agency, you know, you make a lot of assumptions, right? If a place is not for profit, that they're, you know, everyone's there fighting the good fight and wanting to do the right thing. And women tend to not negotiate. You know, we accept what we're told. We don't negotiate. We assume that everyone is, you know, that's coming in at the same level are being paid the same amount. And it takes us a long time to find out that that's not the case. And I went through that experience as well. And I fought for a fair salary. But it taught me a lot. It taught me so much. And after that, that's how I got involved with an organization called the American Association of University Women. They do salary negotiation workshops around the country, teaching women to do what I had to learn the hard way. I'll stop there.
Okay, I just want to dial it back just a little bit, and I kind of want to piggyback from something that you were saying a little bit earlier when it comes to domestic violence and those women not being able to, you know, have those resources, of course, to reach out and get the help that they need. What are some of the key components that women can do that find themselves in that situation? Because it is very difficult for them to break away and to get out of that situation. What can mm-hmm. they do, even if they have to plan their escape, what can they do to prepare to move themselves in a better position? What steps can they take to help themselves? And the reason why I'm a little passionate about that is because I've watched one of my dearest, my best friend from years ago go through that situation, and she would keep coming back to me over and over again every time something would happen. You know, for help and just someone to talk to, but what can they do to create a plan to get out of that situation? What's the first step that they can take to get some strength and courage? Because it takes a lot of courage. She didn't have courage because she needed that financial help, and that was one of her mm-hmm. reasons why she didn't go forward. So,
yeah, no, that's a good question, and what happened with your friend, you know, is sadly very common. The financial ties that bind you to something that can be psychologically and possibly physically dangerous. And I will say that I'm not a domestic violence practitioner, so I don't know sort of all of the answers to that. But when I've done sort of my volunteer advocacy around domestic violence, mm-hmm. the first step is reaching out to a domestic violence hotline. You know, and you can find one online. You can use your phone. You can use a computer. You have to feel safe doing these searches. I had a friend who was in a domestic violence situation, and one of the things that I learned is that your friends and everyone can do their best, but it's not going to happen until the victim herself or himself are ready to move forward and to acknowledge the situation that they're in. Sometimes people don't realize just how isolated they've become. They don't maybe realize, you know, that way that it is isn't the way it has to be. So if there is a family member or someone you trust you can talk to who can give you a reality check, that can be helpful. But if you reach out to a domestic violence helpline, they can give you a referral for a shelter where usually legal services will be provided. In New York City here, we have these family centers, and I'm blanking on the correct name, so I apologize, but we have them in every borough, and they're one-stop shops. That victims can go into, and there's representatives of the DA there, their legal services program, their victim services program, so that they, like, literally can, like, walk into these places and walk out with a plan, with resources, if necessary, with a shelter that they can go to so that they don't have to go back home and pack up or anything else. You know, that they have, you know, children's play areas so that the kids can be someplace else while the parent is talking with the attorneys and advocates that are in these family health centers. It took many years to get these created, and it takes resources, and it takes advocacy, and it takes collaboration between a number of different entities. But there are resources out there when someone is ready to make that move.
Yes. Thank you. I really appreciate that very in-depth answer. I really appreciate that. And we are running out of time. We have just about 1 minute left in this episode. And I do want to ask if you have any closing remarks, anything that you want to touch base on that we didn't talk about during this time.
First of all, I want to say happy International Women's Day. I don't want to end without saying that. Happy Women's History Month. You know, every day should be Women's History, not just the month of March. But it's great to have a month set aside. And I'll just say quickly, what I do is I'm the public administrator of Richmond County, which is Staten Island in New York City, the fifth borough and the smallest borough. And what I do is deal with the estates of persons who pass with no family and no type of advanced planning document, no will, no trust, et cetera, et cetera. And so my final words, especially to parents, particularly if you're a single parent, please, please, please advance plan. Work on a will. Work on setting up a trust. You may not think you have a lot to leave, but you have more than you think you do. And it's not just about things and it's not just about money. It's about making sure that you've made the plans for your children so that they can continue to thrive should you pass on, particularly if they're young. So it will make the world of difference to your family if you spend some time working on advanced planning.
Thank you. I really appreciate those closing words from you. This has been a really short but informative show on today. I really appreciate your taking out the time to share with me and the listening audience. It was very enjoyable, and I love these types of conversation, very educational, and I really do appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on once again. It's really been a pleasure. And I hope that you are well and continue to be well, because we're still in this pandemic. And folks, please continue to be careful, washing your hands and wearing your mask.
Well, this has been the Fierce Female Network with your host, Fierce Manson, and Edwina Frances Martin. I hope you guys really did enjoy this particular show. I found it very stimulating. I love conversation that is stimulating. You guys, come on back on next Monday. You know there's always a guest that is fabulous. And I do want you to mark your calendar, because I have coming up, He Is the Artist. You are going to love, love, love this young man. I'm going to play just a little bit of his music going out of the show. You got to love his voice. He is so phenomenal and fantastic. He was inspired to begin his career by listening to T.D. Jakes. You heard it, T.D. Jakes. And so he's going to tell us a little bit about his story, and we're going to have his music, and we're just going to have a blast. Here is He Is the Artist and a little bit of his music. You guys, come on back on next Monday. I'm out. Loving you, and I'm telling you, his singing just really makes my soul stand up. And we're gonna get down and show out when he comes on the show. That is, He Is the Artist. I am out of time, guys. We're gonna have a rocking time. All right, and so you guys have a great and phenomenal evening. It has been a pleasure. This is Fierce on the Fierce Female Network, and we're going to have a blast with He Is the Artist. So mark your calendar, mark your calendar. We'll have a good time.
You motivated. You motivated. You winning, winning. You know they hate it.
She's
hold up.
Fierce. Fierce. She's fierce. 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 Fierce.
She's woo. That girl from fierce. A West Side girl to a...